Hello and welcome to another episode of Baby Steps, the first steps to understanding the paradox of parenting and education and everything children. Danielle Ocheng is my name and I'm an early childhood education specialist, both by passion and profession. Before we move on to today's topic, I want to ask, how are you doing? How is this corona period taking you? And wow, I've realized people are so bitter. Like the people you ask and I'm like, imagine I'm not here to start a fight. I just want to know how you're doing. So I hope you're fine. If you're not, please reach out to somebody, talk to somebody. There are many people who are willing to listen and, yeah, to be there for you. Anyway, before we dive into today's topic, again, I want us to just listen to just this short clip and I claim no rights to it. If it had any similar effect to what it did to me, I just started smiling and I started laughing and it just brought back all sorts of good memories. Why? Because it's children laughing, and I think there's no greater joy in life than hearing children laugh, hearing children or seeing children genuinely happy. And trust me, it doesn't take much to get children happy. We overthink it. Society has made it very difficult or made it look so complicated, but kids are very special. And that brings us on to today's topic, which is about play. But before that, as usual, drum rolls. It's time for another Did You Know fact. Now, did you know that in the United Nations Convention on the Rights of a Child, it states that play is the right for all children? Now my question is your child fully experiencing their right, or do we need a lawyer? Why I'm asking this question is because quite a number of times I've had adults in general say or tell children, kazi yako ni kucheza cheza tu, which is Kiswahili and loosely translated in English is that your job is just playing around, but with more of a connotation of you're wasting time. But are they really? I'll quote Fred Rogers, and he says that play is often talked about as if it were relief from serious learning. But for children, play is serious learning. Play is really the work of childhood. I want us to take a trip down memory lane, right? Go with me, close your eyes. Like, no, seriously. I'm serious, close your eyes. Close your eyes, and I want you to track back to your early childhood years. So some people do not remember, but I want us to go back to our childhood, early childhood, middle childhood, late childhood, just when you were a child. And I want you to recall the best times you had. Just take a moment to think about it. Okay, now you can open your eyes, for those who actually did listen when I said close your eyes. And every time I sit and recall my childhood, I remember there was a lot of play and energy was used and friendships were built and we were happier, and generally it was just a good euphoric feeling. But society has changed, and why a lot, quite a bit of it is out of our control, but I always believe much of it is within our control. And back in the days, I remember for me, my mom would force us out of the house to go and play. So once she picked us from school, like before my dad came home and it was dinner time, she would always like give us this small snack and then tell us, get out of my house and go and play. So like play was compulsory when we were children. She did not allow my parents, they didn't buy us DStv, they didn't buy us PlayStation, they refused video games, they refused all these things because my mom saw that it's zombified children and she was like, this is not happening in my house. So she's like, go outside and play. So we used to play a lot, and I remember we developed all sorts of games, all sorts of weird songs, you know, and we developed friendships, a lot of them with which we still have to date. But growing up was fun. That laughter that you had as a child, that had just right from toddlerhood, it was, I don't know, I just can't insist, I don't know how much more I can insist on how important play is for children. It's not a game, it's not relief from play. If you go back to your childhood, like those memories you came across or that came to your mind when I told you to close your eyes and think of your childhood. What do you remember most about it? You know, those memories actually bring like smiles to our face. And sometimes a lot of people see play as a waste of time. Ni kucheza cheza tu. But if you look at it, when you were playing certain games, right, apart from getting your physical energy up, sometimes you had to do calculations. For example, if you're playing hopscotch, right, and you threw it, you had to identify the number, you had to jump another number of steps, you had to calculate to make sure you don't step on the line. Like, there's a lot of problem solving going on in that kind of play. And those are essential skills growing up. Look at it right now. That's why I keep saying, your child doesn't have to sit to recite 1 to 10 with a textbook or a chart for them to understand numbers. No, they can do it through play. And if you recall those times, you also learned how to associate with each other. We learned how to negotiate, you know. We learned how to problem solve. Some of us learned risk taking. Some of us didn't. I'm still personally not a risk taker. But the people who would slide down hills with a box among their shorts, like, we learned how to take risks. It's the first time we learned how to ride bicycles. And some of us didn't have all these helmets and knees, drew the knee pads and everything. We scraped our knees, we fell, we got cut. But we moved on with life. It taught us resilience. We learned friends. We learned that I can't always have my way. And if I want to make friends with somebody or have friends, I've got to find a way of negotiating, you know, finding a balance. Now, I know when a society we're like, oh, I don't care what nanny says, I don't care what so-and-so says, it's my life, I choose my things, I don't have to be friends with everybody. No man is an island. We were created by God as social beings. And I'm not saying that we teach our kids to fall for everything. They need to have a stand in what they believe. But that doesn't mean that they don't collaborate with people. Grabbing stuff, throwing stuff, being violent, all those kind of things. We learn how to tame down those things because we played a lot. I like to look at it this way. Going to like the most basic and most essential skill or game that children do a lot is building items, building structures. So this could be a set of blocks, Legos, tissue rolls, whatever you have. And if you just watch what they do without any interruption, you'll see them build structures, vehicles, animals, like anything that their imagination takes them to. And if you have seen what it takes to build any real structure or building, or even create a creature, you can ask God about that. You will know that it doesn't just happen. It takes a lot of critical thinking, there's calculations, there's reflections on whether this or that will work or not, and why it won't work, and what has to be changed, how high should it go before collapsing, what to do to make it go higher, how many blocks are needed, how can I make it more attractive, you know, and which ones work best, which ones won't for this project, what can I do to just make this thing better. I can go on and on, but I'm sure you get the point. Like, there's a lot of things that go into play, but most people just see it as playing with no benefit. But there's actually a lot of brain work and problem solving that has gone into it. And if you look at a lot of the skills you've learned, many people recall their childhood with fondness. The other day I was recalling, it was mostly my friend who was recalling his childhood. And you could just see the joy on his face as he was talking about the things they did, you know, and how crazy it was. And sometimes they got into trouble with it. They can remember their behinds being whooped by their parents, or the whole estate getting in trouble because they did something, you know, or they, what we call in Kiswahili or Kenya, dufu mpararu, like they went to swim in rivers or lakes or ponds or whatever without any clothes. Like, he was recalling his childhood with such joy, despite the fact that he's a busy person and sometimes work gets stressed. But the moment he starts talking about his childhood, or the childhood he remembers in the play, he was just like, I really enjoyed my childhood. And those are the experiences we want our kids to go through. We don't have them saying, I remember watching Peppa Pig my entire life, you know. Or if we have the resources, now when they're in their 30s, 20s, when they're finally able to buy their own things, when they're trying to learn how to ride a bicycle, or trying to learn how to swim, or trying to learn how to skip rope, you know, or play with others, they're going to work environments and they can't cooperate with people. I think we get the point. All I'm trying to say is just let our children play. I'll give another example of dolls. Dollies, yeah? Toy figures, stuffed animals, puppets, whichever. these toys actually pack a lot of learning, and that doesn't seem apparent when you look at a child interacting with them. But let me try and give a bit of perspective. These figures are seen to have life in them, according to children. So you see them talk with them, and that alone teaches them proper communication skills. Listening and speaking may also be comforting for some children. We should actually be a bit concerned if your child is very aggressive, or you see a child very aggressive and violent and destructive and like just always wants to destroy, quote unquote, these toys that are more lifelike, animals, dolls, those kind of stuff. But that's not for this episode. But such toys teach children compassion, they teach them patience, care, love, and all of these are essential skills to making this world a better place and society. Because, you know, I think there's a lot of us, I mean, society or life has taught us to harden ourselves because life is hard out here, people are mean out here. But where do these hard and mean people come from? Like, instead of working to harden everything and everyone, how about we work to soften, you know, to make people, our children, more human, so that the world is an easier place to live in, not a harder place where we have to grit our teeth to make it work. For when it comes to dolls, you'll see children act out different scenes. So they'll hold maybe two dolls, and then you'll see one doll talking to another, reacting or working with another doll in a certain kind of way. That usually is how a child communicates. And you'll actually see a lot of child therapists using such toys to like help understand or get into the mind of a child, because a child may not be able to properly communicate, but they will hold two dolls and, you know, either show the dolls working together, being collaborative, or show the dolls being aggressive. It just shows what's going on in their head without them being able to explain it. And you can buy dolls. They're those in the shops, they're secondhand dolls, or you can also make. I remember my mom taught me how to make dolls. Okay, when I was a child, she then who did most of the making, because I couldn't handle needles at that point. But the beauty of it was, I remember we stuffed the doll with, when I used to undo my braids, or she would undo her braids, that's what we stuffed the doll with. Because if she didn't have batting or wool or whatever to put in the dolls, you can, as I keep on saying, you can find something. You can always find things to make in your house, like around the house. If it was not, it was old clothes. And she would stitch a doll, put buttons for the eyes, you know, use thread, yarn, you know, the thick one for sweaters, to make the hair. She taught me how to, when I grew slightly older and was able to handle needles, she showed me how to make the clothes. We had such an amazing bonding experience, and I learned how to play toys. And trust me, the dolls I made with my mom were not any special compared to the Barbie dolls that I had or the other store-bought toys. For me, they were equal value. They were all family. I took care of each one of them. I washed each one of them. I dressed them. I cared for them. I fed them. It was the same. For children, the difference is the same. It's us who start showing them that, oh, so-and-so is better than this, or this is better than that. For kids, most things are plain level. If you don't show a child, another child has, let's say, an iPad, the child will never know what an iPad looks like, and they will never feel the pressure or feel less because they don't have it. They'll never pressurize you to get the iPad. I know I've said a lot about toys, but let's look a little into what research and science proves about the impact of play. But I'm hoping we get from my experiences and from reality of life, just looking back and recalling with such fondness and such joy the memories we have of play. I hope we're getting the point of why play is important. And I know Corona and quarantine have not made it easy, but if your child can go, let them go outside and let the sun bless their melanin. Let them go and play. Let them find things to do out in nature. Like, even if it's in an estate, a bit outside, I know, just let them get some sunshine, because we're getting sicker because we lack vitamin D. And especially if you're African or your skin has some good amount of melanin, we need the sunshine for us to radiate. We need the sunshine for our bodies to function well. And we've never needed, maybe it's because the UV rays are a bit worse now, but sunscreen and all these complications, as long as the sun, I remember talking to one scientist, I think she does something to do this, she's just saying the sun before 10 and is it after 4 p.m. after 3 p.m. I can't remember, is the best kind of sun. The one in between, when it's too hot, is dangerous. So let your child go up. Kids wake up early. Let them go outside. Let them bask in the balcony. Let them go and play. If they can't get outside, they have to get sunshine in whatever way possible. But give them toys to play. Let them make stuff. Let them do something at home. So as I'm giving this current scientific data on play, I start with one of what I think is the most important, because for me, relationships is key, and because it also really helps human beings thrive, and especially childhood. If it starts early, they'll have a stronger adulthood going forward. So like the first thing is, when a child is playing with adults or peers, it helps them develop secure attachments, which means that they're safer, they feel safer, they feel happier, they feel more connected, because now they get time to interact with somebody else. There were researchers who observed what happened when an infant plays with a toy. This is why play starts from infants. It doesn't start when a child is able to move. They observed what happened when an infant plays with a toy. So they found that if the mother or any other adult responded by manipulating and naming the toys, the baby, when tested 3 months later, would actually have better language skills because there's communication happening. Playing, as I mentioned earlier, looking at our childhood experiences, also provides the opportunity for children to learn how to interact socially. They learn to cooperate, follow rules, develop self-control, which is very important, and generally they get along with other people because they begin to see and learn that the world doesn't just revolve around them, and they gain pleasure from making friends. Why I'm saying this is because human beings are naturally born selfish. I mean, look at us, always wanting to get the best for ourselves, for our families. Society is no longer, you know, Ubuntu, I am because we are, and thinking about others. So children are naturally born with that kind of selfishness, but it takes time. Not a lot of time. The more they interact with others, the more, even at home, and learn that it's not just them, they develop those skills. The strong relationships make them feel safe and supported, which greatly, greatly impacts their learning, their happiness, and their self-esteem. And as the first teacher, parents can foster a lot of learning through play. Research also proves that play has intellectual benefits for the brain, and it's believed that play can in fact shape the structural development of the brain. I know we are all so stuck up on how my kid is performing, comparing them to other. That's not what matters. You don't have to have the brain of Einstein or whichever smartest people, the Bill Gates, for you to succeed in life. Just find what they're good at. But point is, I'm mentioning this because a lot of us, the structure of the brain is very important because it determines our future lives. So this actually goes with another did you know fact. I would have loved to do the drum rolls, but I'll go on. By the time your toddler is 2 years old, they have more than 100 trillion synapses or brain connections, and this is the most they will have in their lifetime. So take advantage of that and let them play and learn critical skills, because by the time they're adults like we are, only half of those synapses remain. And if there's a synapse production over production, those connections are made, a lot of good connections are made. It allows information captured from the early childhood years to build a foundation for the brain for later life. And as I mentioned, you don't have to break a bank to get good toys for your child to develop with. You can actually use a lot of what you already have at home and just get creative with them, even for your preschooler. That's why I've been developing learning packets for homeschoolers, natural homes, those who've always homeschooled, and also for during this corona period, especially like if fees are too high or something. It would just ensure your child learns through play. They won't have to sit down to recite, and you get to see how to use a lot of resources. So if you'd like yours, please reach out. I'll mention the contact details at the end of this podcast. Plus, based on feedback from parents, I realized it's not a natural thing to be able to teach children in like an engaging, hands-on kind of way, because we also grew up in, depending on where we grew up, in different kind of school settings where it was probably rote counting. So coming up with that will be videos accompanied where I'll be explaining to you and your child how to go about these activities. There's a great need for an environment that is enriched with play and play materials, because it gives perfect life experiences. And if these experiences are absent, the related synapses that I mentioned, these good brain connections, are going to be lost. Now, neuroscientists also developed and discovered that enriched environments with toys, games, and playing can alter brain's chemistry and physiology, because there's a part of the brain that's associated with higher cognitive processes, which is the cerebral cortex, can actually benefit from an environmental enrichment and play more than any other parts of the brain. This is why play is important. The brain needs to grow. It needs to grow and develop in the right way and to the maximum of its abilities. And the best way to do that is through play. Even if they're learning, let it be through play. So early playing is also found to be associated with higher intelligence later in life. Just to be keen, we are not looking to force our kids to be the 9-year-old graduating with a PhD. No. Whatever they are, whatever God created them to be, let them be that. Let's figure out what that is and let them be that. So there's a longitudinal study on the relation of infants' home environment to mental test performances from 6 to 36 months. It was a study done by Elado and his colleagues from the University of Arkansas, and it shows that regularly offering play and toys to infants to interact and play with it led to actually higher IQ by the time the child was 3. There's another psychologist called Edward Fisher who analyzed 46 studies done on play, and he found that playing could enhance a child's cognitive, linguistics, which is the language, and social development. As obvious, play also sparks creativity, because it's closely linked to what is called divergent thinking, which explores problem solving, as I earlier mentioned. So to test this, there was a study that was like to test the association. So in the first activity, they assigned 52 children aged 6 to 7 to activities, right? So the first group of children were given things to copy from a text to a chalkboard or a blackboard. And then in the second, children were given salt dough, which is a different form of Play-Doh. But yes, it's called salt dough. So when all the children were later asked to perform a certain creative project, there was a panel of 10 judges. And when they assessed the projects, they found that the children who played in the salt dough, that group of children actually had higher creative qualities than those in the other groups. Yes, creativity. The world needs more creative people. I think the problem with the education system is that it is making us into robots to fit in a certain mold, and that's not how human beings are made. God made us diverse. But moving on, there's something called free play, which is unstructured play, where the child is not told what to do, and it encourages children to explore and design their own games and activities. There's the pretend play also requires a child to imagine scenarios and then act them out. The freedom of this type of plays allows children to be creative. Their imagination fuels creativity, and some studies have actually also found that creative adolescents tend to have had imaginary friends in childhood. Yes, I hope we've all heard about imaginary friends. Another obvious thing about play is that it develops speech and language, because children are watching, they're listening, they're exploring, they're imitating. Even when your child is playing silently, this information that's just processing in their brain, they're linking between what they've heard before, and this also helps develop their speech and language. Because this also means that you don't always have to play your child. A lot of times, just let them be independent and figure it out. Play also shows a link between like the skills they develop now and later communication skills. There was a study conducted by Pellegrini in the relationship between kindergartners' play and achievement in pre-reading, language, and writing, conducted by the University of Georgia. So they observed 65 kindergartners in their classroom over 4 weeks. And they found out that the presence of play, especially pretend play, was found to predict better performance in pre-reading, language, and writing. As I had mentioned earlier, I think another very important thing, well, everything is important, clearly, but another very important thing, essential thing, is play helps a child to regulate their behavior. They learn skills as how to talk to people, how to relate to people, how to take turns, and how to share. This helps them learn to regulate their behavior and emotions. So they won't be throwing tantrums, they won't be getting angry. So it's a skill that they slowly develop. And this self-regulation is one of the most essential skills for school readiness and just life in general. instead of like making your child learn the ABCs before they go to school, preschool, the teacher will do that. Just show them how to regulate their behavior, how to regulate their emotions, how to wait, you know, how to take no as an actual answer and be patient, you know, take turns. Those are important skills for the child. And look at it this way, it will also help you as a parent, so that when you tell your child to wait or you tell them no, they don't see it as an opportunity to throw tantrums or hit you or cause a scene, because they've learned to regulate their behavior. Generally, if we look or reflect on our childhood experiences, we can see that play helps children be happier, better adjusted, more cooperative, and more social when it comes to their peers compared to those who play less or interact less with children. They develop more empathy, they begin to understand how other people feel, their beliefs, and just learn to understand that it's okay to be different. We don't have to fight about it. Another thing about play, obviously, is that it promotes physical development, the growth, the fine motor skills, because they're going to be using the energy, they're going to be using their whole bodies to move. And it's a very important thing. Don't we all want happy and healthy children? So as I come to the end of my podcast, my ask, my plea, like I am begging, is that let our children play. Don't let them sit in front of the TV screen. It's not healthy for children, for anybody to spend time on screen for long periods of time, especially for children in early childhood, and even worse, for children below the age of 3. Let them interact, let them move, let them exercise, let them play, let them learn through play. Just let them build their creativity, let them grow, let them be children. Think about them in the next 20, 30, 40, 70 years. What memories do you want them to have? Peppa Pig, Dora the Explorer, what will they even say they learned Espanol? Like, let them have memories that they will look back, and even if they got whooped for doing some certain kind of play, they'll later remember and look at it, look back and just laugh at it and say, I had so much fun when I was a kid. These are the games we used to play. This is how I learned so and so. This is how I learned this. Please let our kids just play. So that's it for me. Thank you so much for listening. I really hope we get our kids to play. And if you still need them to learn, we can do that through play and through my activity packs. So with anything you have for the activity packs or any other questions you have, please reach out to me on my email, babystepsbyd@gmail.com, or 0738-724-611. And by the way, these activity packs just go for $2.50 a week. And they have daily activities, which I just suggested. They go by themes, so the child understands that or is able to relate everything they learn through the week. And each pack for the 3 to 5 year olds has, for the threes, it's a lot of theme exploration. 4, 5, they'll do math, literacy, creative arts, and have a range of free choices they can choose to. And I can send them to you. And these activities will also help you get to bond with your child in the process. And they will get to see that they can learn through play. They don't have to know they're learning. They will just be learning because it's play. And you'll also get to see, by the way, how you can use what you have around your house to enhance their creativity and their pretend play. And that's it for me. Wish you a splendid weekend ahead. And please don't forget to always subscribe. And you can always get to listen to these and also previous podcasts on various topics. And if you'd like me to tackle anything or want to be on the show, please let me know. That's it from me. Bye.